This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
On the physical side, I think it's very important for men in particular to activate the sympathetic nervous system. Mm. I mean, there's two. There's the parasympathetic nervous system. You've got the autonomic nervous system. Then you've got the sympathetic nervous system. Then you have the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is activated with flight or flight. Mm. Where a situation where someone pulls out a knife or something, this is where your pupils will dilate and then, the adrenaline will be secreted and all these kind of things. In a situation where it's life or death or where it's your life is in danger, your children's life, or your woman's life, your wife's life, or whatever it may be, you need to be able to act in a good way. But if you have not activated your sympathetic nervous system, if you've not put yourself in uncomfortable positions in the past where you know how to deal in a situation of danger, then the likelihood of you doing something cowardly, going back to what the Prophet said, that the worst of men are the ones who are most miserly and most cowardly, exponentially increases. Yeah. That you'll never forgive yourself for. Mm. The situation where you can do something where your wife will lose respect for you for the rest of your life, where your children will never see you as a man again, exponentially increases. You may do something like, we've seen videos of this. I mean, unfortunately, we've seen, I'm not going to mention any names or any people, but you see, it's coming online now, a person getting slapped in front of his son, he doesn't respond. Or another person, his daughter, the dog comes and tries to bite his daughter, and he leaves his daughter and jumps on the top of the car. You know, these kinds of things, His young daughter.
Yeah.
Well, why are these men in these positions? They're in this position because they have not taken their role as a qawwam, as a protector and maintainer seriously.
Yep.
And they are not equipped. They think, in theory, yes, I would do this. Mm. But the matter is not a theoretical one. The matter is an experiential one.
When you're in the situation, it's milliseconds to decide what you're going to do. Exactly. And if you haven't practiced that in an environment, in a gym, in a martial arts setting.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the best things to do. Martial arts is the go-to here because it's the best thing we can do. I mean, in Holland, you've got a culture of kickboxers.
Definitely.
But I don't recommend heavy setting kickboxing only because it does damage the brain and there's the horma. I can't recommend something which there's some issues with. Although it's important to know the basics of kickboxing.
Yeah.
And kickboxing is better than boxing. I mean, if you put a kickboxer with a boxer, the kickboxer will win. But why? Because the kickboxer has a portfolio that the boxer doesn't have. The moment the kickboxer kicks the boxer in the leg, the guy will be shocked.
Yeah.
The boxer will be absolutely shocked.
So what might be interesting as well for people is they might look at martial arts as being like something that doesn't have any correlation with the Islamic values. But protecting your family, protecting your family members, protecting your wife, protecting your children is something, of course, which is very important as a Muslim. So we can tie this in.
Absolutely. Asyuti, who died 9/11, actually wrote a book called Al-Musara'a Il-Musara'a. Hastening towards grappling. Musara meaning wrestling. And, this is literally a book that was written. It's actually been translated recently into the English language. So one of the things is, there's a famous hadith of Rukana, of the Prophet ﷺ, wrestling with him. And the Khalid ibn Walid used to be a proper wrestler, You'll find that, I'm not sure if you guys know this, the sport which Muslims are most successful in the Olympics, practicing Muslim people, or Muslim people in general, is freestyle wrestling. It's freestyle wrestling, and it has its usul in the religion of Islam. If you look at Iran, you look at the Russians, the Dagestanis, and Chechenians, Khabib Nurmagomedov, even though he's not really a wrestler, he's a sambo player. But he's a great grappler, you have this guy now called Abdurrahman Sajulev, who is like pound for pound the best wrestler in the world right now. He is from Dagestan. This impetus has, Turkey is a great nation, by the way. Azerbaijan is a great nation for that. Yep. Kazakhstan, they have great. This impetus comes from an Islamic root. There is an Islamic root. For example, the hadith in Uhud, where some younger people, Yanni, they were younger, they were Yanni just hit puberty kind of age, yeah? And they really wanted to go into war for Uhud. Hmm. And so the Prophet didn't allow them in the beginning. And then he allowed them and he said, the one who wins a wrestling match between you two, the one who wins will go to war. Hmm. So he used wrestling, and this is a Sahih Hadith, the wrestling was used as a barometer to judge fortitude and character. Mm. But if you've done martial arts before, I personally think that wrestling, freestyle wrestling, is the most tiring and most exhausting of all of them. Mm-hmm. Of all of them.
Yep.
Because the mentality is different to, for example, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That it's kind of slow. Compared to wrestling, someone will be upset with me by saying that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't compare the pace of freestyle wrestling with the pace of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Even kickboxing is not the same. Yep. Even though it's a heavy pace and you can get knocked out in that. You can't get knocked out in wrestling.
It's full body.
Yeah. But wrestling is really tight. If someone's like freestyle wrestling properly, it's a very, it's extremely tiring thing. And it's mental toughness, resilience. Mm. The American Psychological Association defines resilience or toughness as the ability to deal with adversity and continue. And in the psychological literature, there is a concept. There's two concepts. One called homeostasis and the other one called allostasis. Homeostasis is keeping a balance, a physical and mental balance. But I think it's allostasis. Yeah, I might be getting that wrong. But it's to be able to keep balanced despite the pressure that you're getting. So for example, if you're in a situation where situations become more fearful or you're in a fight or something, your ability to keep balanced in that situation is a different measurement to your ability to keep balanced in a normal situation. And in addition to increasing your sympathetic nervous system or being able to activate it and know what to do with it, you need to be able to increase your threshold for being able to deal with stress in high range environments. That's why a wrestler versus a businessman who's never stepped, and if they get into a fight, the wrestler is going to annihilate him. Even in a normal life situation, martial arts and these kinds of things can actually make you more resilient in life. If grief happens, something bad happens to your family, something which requires you, it will make you a tougher person. And we are living in an age where the sedentary position has become the normative one, where you're sitting down. That's what it is. You're sitting down on your phone. That's what your thumbs have become so muscular. But that's not how the men of the Middle Ages were living.
Yeah, I think it was even Plato or Socrates who said you shouldn't teach your child any philosophy until they're 30, but you should teach them wrestling in that whole period.
Wrestling is Plato himself was a wrestler. People don't realize that, in the Greek times, you have people like Aristotle, who, by the way, he was the personal tutor for Alexander the Great, who died 323. But Plato, who was the teacher of Aristotle, both Plato and Aristotle were wrestlers. They did freestyle wrestling. And so there was, before there used to be this kind of merge or this, symbiotic relationship between the physical and the mental. Now that's been separated. Now there's two separate hierarchies. If you've got, I've seldomly met someone who's at the highest level of academic achievement in both those fields. If you're an Olympic wrestler, have you ever met an Olympic wrestler who's at the top level of an intellectual field? I haven't met that. There's boxers like Vladimir Klitschko who have achieved a PhD and so on. But these people are far fewer in number. I'm not just saying achieving a PhD, like actual knowledge contribution in the field. So now as Muslim men, the idea should be to excel and to be part of the hierarchy in both of those things. So to be competitive in a knowledge environment, in the dini environment, but also to be competitive in a physical environment. And if we can achieve that, then we've achieved a lot. And I think we're in a very good position to be able to do so. So in terms of physical engagement, we need a cardio program, we need a physical strength and conditioning program. I mean, on my channel, we've got recently, I put up this 3-day split of like, I've got a bodybuilder to come onto the, the thing. And he's telling us how to fit everything in the whole body in 3 days. But we've just filmed the second one. Doing the deadlifts a bit wrong. He was showing me, like, you got to do it like this and so on. But, you know, you've got to do a bit of weights, because weights, in fact, increases your testosterone. Mm. And testosterone is not something to be taken lightly, because having higher testosterone and lower estrogen, or optimal testosterone, within range testosterone and within range estrogen, can actually inform your mood. Like, I do blood tests on a regular basis. And when I'm down and a bit like in a more sad state, I check my blood, and lo and behold, my estrogen is higher.
Mm.
I don't know what causes what, but the idea is, so my estrogen is higher. So if I want to be in a bit more positive state, I have to manipulate my testosterone. Now, I can't do that using drugs for more than one reason, by the way. One of them is that I'm taking blood thinners, and that thickens the blood, but that's something else. Yeah.
What I found really interesting as well is an insight that I received, and there was a medical practitioner who confirmed this as well. Hmm. Is basically that when we are experiencing fight or flight situations, we don't only experience those situations from physical threat, but also like getting shouted at by your boss, or even a bill that we get that we can't pay. This triggers cool. The same fight and flight reaction in us. Yeah. And basically what I understood is that the only natural way to dismiss this fight or flight tension that is built up in your body is physically. And when you think about it, fight and flight are both physical as well. So we are experiencing similar triggers which trigger the fight and flight syndrome. But yeah. If we don't have physical activity in our life, there's no way to basically output it in a healthy way.
It's not about dismissing it for me. It's about managing it. And
yeah.
So for example, it's very interesting. I think a lot of it is context specific as well. There's you know, Anthony Joshua, he was a former heavyweight champion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Defeated by Usyk, a smaller man but more technical than him.
Yeah.
And he defeated him, and then afterwards, you know, he's now, I don't know, rematching him, or maybe he doesn't want to rematch him, because why would he want to rematch him? There was a video of Anthony Joshua doing mountain climbing or something, right? Mm. The harness and stuff. I don't know where you find this online, but was like a thing I saw. Someone showed it to me, and I thought, this is very interesting.
Mm.
Because the guy that he was with was much more confident, much more brave, if you want to put it that way. And Anthony Joshua genuinely looked scared doing mountain, you know, mm-hmm. what you call it,
yeah.
rock climbing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, on the mountain.
Sure.
He looked scared. But why would the heavyweight champion of the world be scared of anything? Well, because it's context specific. A lot of it is based on competence. If you know you're not good at something, you can screw it up. You get scared about it. The number one thing people are actually scared of, according to American polls, is public speaking.
Yeah.
Because of the fear of, if it goes wrong, people are going to boo me, or that I'm going to be rejected or something like that. Somebody can be really, really comfortable when it comes to public speaking, but when it comes to rock climbing, be very scared. My fear was jumping into a swimming pool.
Okay.
You know, I tried to confront it like head first.
Yeah.
I kept getting this image of my brain coming out of my head and blood going everywhere.
But you're a tall guy as well, Mohammed. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. You might be afraid that your feet would just hit the bottom and then you would break your knees.
These fears. But you know, when I see people jump from a very tall place into the water, I think, how are they doing it? I think, how the hell are they doing it? But the point is a lot of it is context specific. Yeah. I mean, no one started off by jumping like that. Yeah. They started off by doing little cannonballs in a swimming pool, and then they jump like that, and then they go higher and higher and higher, and then the same thing is the same with every single thing. So martial arts is important, but you can also activate your sympathetic nervous system doing rock climbing or doing swimming, diving, or lots of other things. So the idea is to get active.
And I think this even helps in this might sound crazy, but in an academic setting, or not even an academic setting, but like in a debating setting, like being able or being prepared for a physical altercation that might occur due to the specific debate. If you're confident in your physical competencies, then you're way more comfortable in the debate as well.
Absolutely.
And you're way more brave in the stances you take, right?
Absolutely.
So it even helps you in like propagating the message that you want to
especially
propagate.
If you want to do it on the ground. That's undoubtedly the case. But the idea is, what I was making about hormones is that we should also be in tune with our hormones. Mm. We should know what the levels of our testosterone is. because there are natural ways of increasing your testosterone. Yep. There are natural ways of, if your estrogen is too high, there's a natural way of reducing that.
Mm.
So we need to kind of, I'm in tune with it because I had to be because I was taking some medication that messed up my hormonal production, whatever. But now, you know, I'm looking at it very closely and I think that's a very important thing that people do. Pay a bit of money, do a hormone test and see what they're on.
Yeah.
So they have to have, there needs to be an output whereby there is some level of physical activity, whether it's especially, weights are important. I mean, I don't find it enjoyable, to be honest, doing weight. I just do it because I have to.
Mm.
I feel like I have to, my body needs to feel that pump. Yeah. It needs to feel good.
So you're saying martial arts, you're saying some weights?
Some weights, martial arts.
Checking your hormone levels?
Yeah, checking hormones and doing a bit of cardio as well. Like that's one thing that I'm struggling with, a little cardio. Obviously you can do your cardio through martial arts.
Yeah.
But you have to do a bit of cardio, getting the heart muscle strong, getting the lungs working. It has so many benefits.
Yep.
Makes you live longer and so on. Okay, the third thing is, so we said that really the mind and the body, and we said the soul. I think we covered everything.
Yep.